the speaker today, if you all would stand, hallelujah, that's going to bring us a word. It's my brother, Gerald Jackson, hallelujah. And it, when I say my husband, I say Russell T. Perkins. This is Gerald B. Jackson, hallelujah. It's going to bring us a word this morning. Amen, amen. Get excited.
Say, you need to get back on that pulpit. You know, God's called you to preach. You need to go back to preach. And I was like, yeah, man, yeah. And he's gone. But I'm here today by the grace of God. And I'm not nervous. I'm not scared. I just know God loves me. And I wouldn't love me. He loves me, and he showed me so much mercy. I promise you, I'm going to preach a sermon, and I'm going to preach it timely. I'm not going to be up here past my time. I'm going to give you a word, because God gave me a word. There was this guy, I don't want to call names. He and I worked together. Y'all could be seated. Y'all could be seated. We worked together, and he got a church, and it was a small church at first, but as time went on, shortly, church built, and it packed out. And he paid for the church. He prayed the dean for the church. The church was paid off. And he was doing a tremendous job in the council, in the community. And he got cancer. The cancer ate his whole body up. And he died. We were the same age. And it disturbed me. I went to the funeral. I was so depressed. I was so sad. I remember walking in the park, Harmon's Park. And I was talking to God. I said, God, I walked away from the ministry because it was just crazy. And I said, but you spared my life. And I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And there this man was doing everything you told him to do. And you took his life. And it bothered me. I cried. I just could not fathom why I was still alive. And while I was walking around in the park, this young man who was probably 19 or 20 years old, he walked up to me. He said, can I pray for you? The Lord told me to come over and pray for you. And I said, yeah. And when I did that, he jumped up so high in the ground. He started worshiping the Lord. And I'm telling you, this didn't look like a church guy. He just looked like a regular guy. And he was just jumping up and down because he had listened to the Lord. And that boy prayed for me. I don't know who he was. I don't know his name. I know nothing about him. He prayed this anointed prayer, and this prayer came from heaven. And the prayer said, I'm not through with you. I got my hand on you. Hallelujah. And I won't leave you. This guy was a stranger, and I cried like a baby. And so I'm here today. I got a word from heaven. I honor my pastor who did not have to let me preach today. And I didn't ask to preach, and I didn't say, well, Pastor, when my turn? Matter of fact, oftentimes y'all notice that I'm quiet at church. I'm not a brasher, and I'm not a holding. You know, they know how to pump the pastor up. I just listen to him. I want to hear what he's saying. Every time, I always go and come to him and I tell him what he said. But you know, some people, they just do different things. I'm not a hooper. I love the word, and I don't think you have to jive it or twist it or put it in some kind of form. Just the word in itself has power. And I'm just grateful for the word. I'm so grateful for the musician, Brother Matt, called Maestro over there. I just thank God for our small church. But we're making an impact. If not anything, we make an impact on our own families, our own lives. And I'm grateful for that. So Pastor was teaching, I don't even remember when, but he talked about Psalms 51. He may have preached, I think he preached this last Sunday. He preached Psalms 51 and verse 4 just blew my mind. I never understood verse 4. And the type of person I am, I always want stuff to make sense to me. Make sense. Lord, you know, some things you read in the Bible, you said, make this make sense. Because I just don't know what this means. So David, this is the prayer, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But what I'm going to talk about is verse 4. Okay, I'm going to lead up to verse 4. Psalms 51. 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according and to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and out of my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. And that's really what happens. When you do wrong, or when you succumb to sin, or when you're in a bad state, your sin is ever before you. You can't even respond like you normally respond. You don't even worship and pray like you used to pray, because the sin is just, the condemnation is ever before you. So I'm feeling what the man is saying, what David is saying. But verse 4 blows my mind. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And what David was talking about, 2 Samuel the 11th chapter. You know, 2 Samuel 11th chapter was a horrible time for David. And David is known for a man after God's own heart. He was a 15-year-old champion that challenged Goliath when Goliath challenged the whole nation of Israel. And as I did my studies on that, it made a lot of sense. When you go into battle and when you have war, a lot of people are killed. But if you just get a champion and get your champion to fight, that'll save so many lives. Only one person will die. So this Goliath, who was a giant, I don't know how tall he was. The Bible says he was a giant. And he challenged the whole nation of Israel. This little boy came forward, and his own brother said, don't come around here, you little runt. You know, they just really talked bad about him. And he said, who is this giant that defies the army of the living God? This uncircumcised thing. What, you know? And so David had faith and had courage and was a warrior, even as a child. And so he defeated this giant, and he was a hero. And he was such a hero that as time went on, the women were seeing Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. And David he had so much charisma, he had so much respect. He would say, Lord, teach me how to go in and how to come out. And so David is that's what we remember David by, his legacy, his honor. But the 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, David turned it to something else. He really caused himself to fall in a situation because he got comfortable. And I said, well, what happened to David? How did he fall so hard? And the Spirit of the Lord started showing me David got comfortable. David was no longer running from Saul. He was no longer hiding in caves. And if you read the scriptures, Psalms, the 6th chapter, and Psalms, the 22nd chapter, David was depressed. David was felt so down. He said, they was wet with, my bed was wet with my tears. He talked about his bones being out of joint, but yet they weren't broken, and how everybody was against him, and how they laughed at him, and they talked bad about him. So while David was under attack, David got close to God. And ain't that what happens with us? And we try to figure out, why did my son die? Why did they diagnose that I have cancer? All the people in the world kicking up their heels and doing what they want to do. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Why is it when I got over one death, here somebody else is dying? I've cried and I've cried and I'm tired of crying. And I just think of that song, "Why, Lord, so much pain?" And then they answer, "He knows what's best for me." And the thing about this is what the Lord began to show me. Listen, y'all, I got baptized in Jesus' name at 11 years old. 1973, the fall of 1973. You say 19 anything, that's weird. And I was in the 6th grade. And I was a child. And the saint said, "You got the Holy Ghost now, you can't fall." That's what they told us. Don't fall and testify. You're not to ever fall. You got to stay strong. At 11 years old, I don't even have the capacity of an adult to really even know what that means. So y'all know I failed several times. 11 years old. And then the shame of not being perfect. For all the guys who know stuff about boxing, y'all know Floyd Mayweather. And he ruined boxing because he was 50 with no loss. Muhammad Ali lost at one time. Marvelous Hagler was the best middleweight. He lost before he became a champion. So Floyd Mayweather, he never lost. Now none of the boxers want to take a L. But have you ever taken an L in your life? You ever absolutely done the wrong thing? And you knew better, but yet you did it anyhow? Well, the church would condemn you into hell. They'll call you up front and they'll do this and do that, and you feel so ashamed. But you're just only human. The Bible says in Psalms 103, that God pities us like a father pities his children. I said, what does pitieth mean in Hebrew? And I looked it up. It's called shanai. Shanai, I believe I'm saying that correctly. And you know what that means? He's tender towards us when we call and cry out to him. It's been days, you all, I've talked crazy to God, and he didn't kill me. I would say, God, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you that you did this. You allowed this to happen. And I cried to him. He didn't strike me down. He pitied me. He heard my... It was just almost like what we had talked about John the Baptist. John the Baptist has lost his faith in Christ. He had preached his whole life, "There's one coming greater than I." And then when John got in trouble and went to prison and they was about to chop his head off, they said, "Are you the one? Or should we look for another?" Now, if Jesus was like you and I, say, how dare you ask me, am I the one? Of course I'm the one. That's your faith. That's on you. But Jesus, he didn't do that. He said there was no prophet born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said after he even questioned. Before he did that, he said he healed people. He cast out demons and all kind of miracles. He said, go back and tell John that. Go tell him that. And the men went back and told him that. Then he bragged on John the Baptist. And when he went on to talk about John the Baptist, he said, and the least of you are greater than John the Baptist. So I got a point that I'm going to make here. I'm just trying to figure out what in the world happened to David. He got caught up. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He saw something he had no business looking at. It was a beautiful woman taking a bath on the rooftop. And he should have been on that field fighting folk, but he was a king now. He was in the palace. All his troubles had died out. And that's what happens to us. That's really what happens to us. We live this life thinking this is heaven. This ain't heaven. Things are going to happen. And, you know, I live my life like, Lord, if I can just get this straight, if I can get this paid off, this will be better. This will be, you know, and then things happen. Like, soon as your car is fixed because it was broke down, then your oven breaks down. How many of y'all know about that? Soon as you go with one diagnosis to the doctor and he says you got something and then you get healed from that, he said, oh, well, we don't see that no more. And then you go back and they said, well, we see something in your lungs. It's always something. It's always something. Lord, why so much pain? Because he knows what's best for us. The Bible talks about the fellowship and other suffering. Sister right here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Her baby stayed in the hospital. My daughter knows exactly what it's about. Her children were in the hospital. And you cry to the God, you cry to the God of your salvation. That's what makes you have faith. Because you know it was God that did this work. If you didn't have no trouble, you wouldn't even trust him. You wouldn't even know him. So here David was looking at this beautiful woman. And he asked and inquired about it, said, who is this? They said, this is Uriah's wife, the Hittite. He said, bring her to me. And so, sake of the children being here, they got together, and a baby, they had. She became pregnant. So when she became pregnant, she told David, David, I'm pregnant. So David went to this course of trying to cover it up. He said, well, go get Uriah out of the army. Get him out of the war zone, and bring him back home. He said, Uriah, I want you to go back home, and I want you to go to your wife and spend the night with your wife. And Uriah was honorable. And it was two things that caused Uriah to get killed. The first one, he married a pretty woman. You got to watch that sometimes, brother. You got to watch a fine woman, you know. Because it's funny, when you marry a pretty woman, you can't be, don't look at her, or who you looking at, or who, you know, you married a pretty woman, hey, you gotta take that. You gotta be secure in your skin. You can't go around, who, you know, I know men that if you hold the door for their wife, they ready to fight you because they so jealous. So number one problem, he married a beautiful woman. Maybe he shouldn't have married someone so fine. And number two, he was honorable. He was an honorable man. Matter of fact, he switched places. It's a switch role. It's weird. The very thing that David used to be, that's what Uriah was now. He was a soldier in the army. And so David said, go home. Go to your wife. And he wouldn't go home. He laid on the floor at the door with the servants. And David said, well, how come you didn't go to your wife? I told you to go home. He said, how can I go home when the Ark of the Covenant is out in the war zone? And Joab is out in the war zone. And my fellow soldiers are out in the war zone. How can I go home? He says, as long as I live and you live, that's not going to happen. So David said, well, let me get him drunk. He thought the drunk or the alcohol would get him going. And he still wouldn't go to his beautiful wife. He would not go home. So David said, well, let me write you a letter. And let me tell you, this story has, Godfather has nothing on this story. Mob stuff has nothing on this story. So he wrote him a letter. He said, now don't open the letter. Just give it to Joab. Give it to the general. And inside the letter said, y'all put him in the most fierce part of the battle and withdraw yourself. Woo, that was assassination. This is what David did. This is who we talk about. The son of David. The man after God's own heart. But he had a moment where he was just pure evil. thank God for preachers. When I preach, that's what, y'all just listen. I'm not bothered by nobody saying, come on, pastor. Come on, amen. Because I want you to just listen to the word of the Lord. So God sent Nathan. Thank God for Nathan. And Nathan painted this picture so pretty. And I'm going to tie this story in with Palm Sunday. Nathan said, David, I'm going to tell you something. There was a man who was poor. He had a ewe lamb. And the ewe lamb was not to be sacrificed or to be eaten. It was a pet. And the pet, was, he was so close to the pet, he loved the pet, that he even slept, the kids slept with the ewe lamb. He said there was a stranger that came in the city, and there was a rich man. He had a whole lot of everything. He had herds, he had sheep, he was rich. And he took that poor man's ewe lamb and gave it to the traveler for him to eat. And David got so mad, he said, that man surely will die. He said, he's going to have to pay four times more than what he did. And so that's when Nathan said, thou art the man. It's you, David. You're the one that did this. And you have displeased God. And you have hurt God. So my question was, why did David say, against you and you, Lord, only? When all these people involved, there was a man by the name of Amalek, and he was the son of Gideon. His mama was a concubine, but he was the son of Gideon, and he wanted to be a king. And so he died in that battle, and a lot of men died in that battle. So for David to say to God, I've sinned against you and you alone, that just not, it didn't make sense to me. It just didn't make sense to me. So what I began to do, I began to see how God takes it personal, how we treat one another. That when Saul of Tarsus, when he came, he was on his road to Damascus. And the Lord, and he saw this light, and he said, Lord. And, you know, Saul was killing folk. He held the coat when they stoned Stephen. You know, he was putting men and women in prison, thinking he was doing the right thing. He hated the Christians. So when the Lord spoke to him, he said, Saul, why? He said, why persecuteth me? So when we hurt each other, we're hurting God. The Bible says in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, I think I still got enough time. 22nd chapter of Matthew, the Bible says, one lawyer asked Jesus, said, which is the greatest of the commandments? And he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, love the Lord with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said, also the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, these two hang all the laws and the prophets. And you know, I'm guilty. The Bible says in Matthew's the 25th chapter, there's going to come a time of judgment where God's going to put, the king will put on the left side the goats and the right side the sheep. He's going to go to the sheep and he's going to say to them, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. He said, when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick, when I was in the hospital, when I was in prison, you came unto me. And that story blows my mind because they did these things, not really knowing what they were doing. They said, Lord, when have we ever seen you in jail? When have we ever seen you sick? When have we ever seen you naked? When have we ever seen you hungry? He said, when you've done it to the least, you've done it unto me. They didn't even know. They didn't have a cheat. They didn't have a cheat sheet. They didn't even know. They was just doing it for the sake of love. So he turns over to the goats. He said, because you didn't give me bread when I was hungry. The point is, he goes through that whole thing. The point is, it's the people that you think are nobodies and ain't nothing. They don't even believe like you believe. And you've got to love them. You got to love that guy that's a bum, that guy that's peddling money, asking for stuff. You've got to help them. That is God's child. That's somebody. Nobody grows up saying, I want to be a nobody. I want to be a drug addict. Nobody grows up and say, I want to be a drunk. Everybody is a child. They got aspirations to have a life. We've got to see Jesus in everybody. We got to see humanity in people. You know, that's what's wrong with the church. Everything is like, that's even what's wrong with our nation. We don't want to help folks. We don't want to help the poor. We don't want to help. We're America first and all this foolishness. We've got to love the unlovable because the Jesus is in everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth upon him should. Woo, my God of heaven. The Lord was talking to me about love. Gerald, you got to love because I loved you. You've got to love the unloved. You know, we hold grudges. I'm mad at you for what you did 20 years ago. And I shouldn't be mad. I shouldn't be mad. I should forgive you because Christ has forgiven me. I'm not there where I was 20 years ago. I'm not there where I was 5 years ago. God has healed and saved me. I had to find this thing out for myself. The best thing that happened to me, I set myself down and I read that Bible for myself. I had to go through. I've been in places where they start whispering, where he coming from? I thought he would never rise again. I thought he'll never preach again. God has always been good to me, even when y'all didn't know it. Many times I would cry. Many times I would just wake up 2 a.m. and God wouldn't even let me go back to sleep. I know about this thing called Christ. I know about this thing called holiness. And it's not about saints of God, just the things that we have made it about. It's a personal relationship. You got to know the Lord. You got to know him. You got to know him for yourself. You can't fake this. It's unfakeable. Because things are going to happen in your life, and it's going to devastate you. You'll be like, why so much pain, Lord? And the Lord says he knows. The song says anyway, he knows what's best for me. And when I think about David looking at that woman, he had one foot on hell. He had another foot on a banana peel. He was about to slip down in hell. He was going to go to a pit that he thought he would never come out of. But thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to tie this in Palm Sunday. Pastor said it was Palm Sunday, so I was going to try to, I got to get Palm Sunday in. In the book of, I'm closing. Mark 11, it was Palm Sunday, and Jesus was telling them to get a coat and all this stuff. And it's so amazing how fickle people live. They'll praise you 1 week. Within the next chapter, the 15th chapter, they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. That's how fickle people are. You be saying, come on to church, baby. Well, I will, but my light bill is due, and I'm behind on my mortgage, and I'm behind on my rent. And you pay all those things for them, they don't come to church no more. People are just fickle. That's people are just people. People are not angels. They're not devils. They're just people. Oh, they was. So here we see that when he was marching the streets on his way, when they put the palms and the coats down, they called, guess who they said? They said, Son of David, Hosanna, Hosanna, who come in the name of David. David's name is still powerful. He did some stuff that I don't even know about. Nobody I know has done. But yet his name still carries on because that's what type of God we serve. Everybody's flawed. Everybody is sinful. God. Just some of us have not been caught. Some of us just got it together, so it just hadn't been broadcast. But you got to watch people now. They YouTube everything. Hallelujah. We have seen. We've seen it. We've seen it for ourselves. I'd like to say one thing. I hope I don't get in trouble with it. But all of my life, I've gone to the organization or conventions. I'm not going to call the name. We go to conventions, and we're so glad to get to the conventions. We get to the conventions, and they take up an offering for 2 or 3 hours. It just don't make no sense. And we weren't saying nothing. We was just mad, but we kept coming to the conventions. Oh, my God. But somebody, one day, just recently, they YouTubed it. They put that thing on Facebook, they put that thing on TikTok. They've been doing that for years, and the people was outdone. They said, what kind of mess is this? Oh, what's done in the dark will come out in the light. Whatever you do in secret, it will be told on the rooftop. Oh, God, God is alive, and God is calling for us to come to him and love our brothers. We got to love one another. I'm sorry, Brother Britt. I'm sorry for a lot of you all who I have not loved like my brother. Lord, I got to do better. We got to do better. We all got to do better. Oh, hallelujah. And like my brother would have said, hallelujah, my deceased brother, he would have said, well, that's all I got.
In the precious name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the unvarnished truth, your word, and Lord, sanctify this word in our hearts and help us do better, like the preacher said, and help us, Lord, hallelujah, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and help us to understand, Lord, when we mess up, it hurts you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.